Okay. And I hope this cable's long enough. Because this one that's not plugged in is kind of short. I think I have one in my ditty bag. Let's go ahead and get started here. Good morning. A few brave souls here. Welcome to the Folk Life Narrative Stage. This young man here is Willie Eason from St. Petersburg, Florida. My name's Bob Stone, and we've gotten to be pretty good friends, wouldn't you say, Willie? And Willie is really at the very roots of this tradition of the electric steel guitar, Hawaiian style guitar, in the African American Pentecostal churches, the two particular sects, the Keith and Jewel Dominion. And Willie started in the Keith Dominion. But Willie, first you traveled with Bishop Lockley, then you worked on the street corners. Can you tell us when you would work on street corners or blow into a new town, kind of how you operated?
Well, I would go into a section. I would pick out a special section after I traveled around the town. And I find I let the Spirit of the Lord lead me, and I go to a house where I think somebody would let me take my extension cord and hook up to their electricity. And then I would tell them that I'm a minister and I would like to go out and have service. And I would take along my guitar with me for my music, and there I would have service out in front of these people's homes. And this would be all over different states, different towns, and we had a wonderful time in the Lord, and singing spirituals, the request numbers, songs that different people like to hear. And also from the corners, I would go to nursing homes, hospitals, where they had the sacred room, and I would play these people's request numbers and uplift them, and they would get you could tell by the smile on their faces that they were uplifted. So, Bob, that's some of the work that I was known to do, and to uplift people. You know, when there's no wheelchairs in the nursing home, they would roll into the sacred room, and there we would have service.
Okay. As I recall, too, in the wintertime, you very early on, Willie based himself in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And you'd work street corners in Chicago, New York, New Jersey. But also in the wintertime, you traveled south to Florida. And didn't you do some work in the farm labor camps in those places?
Yes, they had a special place that most all the migrant workers, they would live there, and they would go out early in the morning to farm and gather the crops. Pumpkin Old Beach, Florida, that's a big heavy belt. And also even in Deerfield, Florida, different Belgrade. And sometimes they would migrate into New Jersey, and we'd go out to farm camps in New Jersey, wherever they was at. And we would have service out there, and I would play the request numbers. And practically, we just have church. And so we would just have a good time throughout those quarters, different people. I remember a lady came out one time, and she didn't get a chance to go to church. And she was cooking and had on a white apron. And she had flour all on the apron and all on her hands and whatnot. She said, you know, I wanted to get to service, but I just couldn't make it to church. She said, but God brought it here. And she was shouting all up and down the camp. And so we had a wonderful time.
We're going to talk a little and play a little. What you got a selection for us now?
A little bit of this number, instrumental song that we're all familiar with. Before I tell you the name of it, I'm going to look at you, and somebody, I would like to get somebody in the audience to tell me what it is. Then I know where I'm standing. I know where whether or not the instrument is saying it. Okay, is that all right? All right, let me see, can I play it plain enough?
Am I on here?
Could anybody tell me what the name of that song? What was it? Can anybody tell me? No. No. Jesus, keep me near the cross. All right. That means I got to play it a little bit plainer. All right. That was good. All right. Testing one, two. I got in mic over here.
Yeah, you got mic.
I got mic. Okay. I'm tired, and sometimes I get weary, but I must toil alone. I know that one day God will come to call me away. Someday I know where the morning is bright. I know where the Lamb it is. It is the light. I know where the night it gets as fair as the day. And oh, there will be peace in the for me one day. For me, I pray no sadness, no more sorrow, and no more trouble that will ever be. Gonna be peace. It's gonna be peace in the valley for me. But I know that the bear it will be gentle. I know that the wolves they will be tamed. The lion he's gonna lie down just like a lamb. Oh yeah, and I know that the whole from the it will be led by a little child, and then I shall be changed. I shall be changed from this old creature that I am. There will be peace in the for me one day. I know there will be peace, everlasting peace for me, Lord. I pray no sadness, no sorrow, no trouble. There will be, it's gonna be down in the far. You know, I got a good mind to say it one more time. Let me tell you, I know that the bear will be gentle, and I know that the wolves they will be tame. I know that the lion he's gonna lie down like a lamb. I want to be changed. I want to be changed.
Okay. Do I have a mic here? Is this mic working? Okay. So, Peace in the Valley. Let's see. You also, besides being a street musician, you also got into the promoting concerts, right?
Oh, yes, sir.
And where did you put on concerts?
Well, the most of my concerts was in Philadelphia and Chicago. Those were the two main places I put on these big concerts with different artists. And, of course, sometimes, even with the opening up of the program, sometimes I generally open up the program myself, mm-hmm. you know. And then I met my wife, and she was one with the Davis family, and I trained a little group. And I would promote them with all the other major groups, the Dixie Hummingbirds, the Soul Stirrers, Sister Rosetta Tharpe, all the other big singers. And so they all became, so I took over the piano, and my wife was playing the piano, I took over the piano. And we had a good time. We traveled up and down the highway and run into different, you know, churches and all denominations. And we just made friends as we went. And, of course, my voice is a little rugged now, but I'm still on the battlefield for the Lord. And, you know, like there's a song that we often sing. I usually do it with the piano. God is using me. And although I'm an instrument in God's hands, and my hands, although they may have a little arthritis, but God is still using me. He's using my hands. He's using my feet. He's using my mouth so I can sing his praise. Yes,
okay.
Bob.
How about Atlanta? Did you play in Atlanta at all?
Oh, Atlanta
or
was one of my
concerts.
Yes, one of my favorite towns. I booked such an artist. He was a gospel singer, but he became to be one of your great ministers, Reverend C.L. Franklin. He had a daughter named Aretha Franklin, and I booked the both of them. I promoted both of them.
When was that about?
It had to be back in the 40s. It had to be in the 40s. Now I'll be 77 this year. Had to be back in the 40s. And I thank God, if I just all right, Bob, to mention this in here, that I'm the father of 15 children, 15 grands, 10 great-grands. You see, I got four of my great-grands out here, grands out here, with my wife. You've seen them. And, of course, we adopted them, and we taking them along on the train, too, because we didn't want them to be adopted out somewhere else. So we took them, too. And God have been blessing us. He have blessed and anointed our family. Had an aunt just a couple of years ago who died in Atlanta, not in Atlanta, but in Georgia, in Plains, Georgia. That was a nursing home owned by our late President Carter. She was 106 years old. And so she was a God-gifted person. She had a gift of healing through her hands that she could pray for people. And people would get well. And not only that, she was just very touchy. And God gave her this gift of prayer and healing. And here in my fingers, he's using my hands, using my voice. And if you might hear me singing sometime, sometimes I have to put all, the way the Spirit get a hold of me, I have to put in it whatever's there. So I thank God for all of you good people who's sitting and listening in right now. I can see the smile on your faces. I like to play for people like that.
Great. One more thing. We're talking about your influences. Some people may remember, it's been about 3 years now, Aubrey Gent was here.
Oh, yes.
And he was a master in the apprenticeship program, a very fine player.
Yes, my nephew.
And, that's Willie's nephew. Willie's first wife was Aubrey's father's sister.
Yes.
And this was down in Ocala.
Ocala, Florida.
And that his father, Henry Nelson, became a very, very influential steel player in the Keith Dominion. And Willie was his absolute inspiration. Willie was about 10 years older than Henry. And do you remember that first time that Henry saw you play in and what situation was?
Yes, they would have something like a assembly, a convocation every year. And sometimes we have the regular convocation. Then we had the General Assembly, which held in Nashville, Tennessee. And so I would go down to Ocala. One time I was sent down there, especially from the General Headquarters, to, they was running a revival meeting. And where they're having these great revivals, they would send us in to help out in the meeting. And I would be instrumental to helping out in the meeting.
And you were a young man, say, in your early 20s?
Oh, yes. I was in my early 20s. That's right. But God have blessed me to get up here in my 70s. And I'm still trying to carry on for God.
So Henry was just a 10-year-old boy, really.
Yes. He watched very closely, and he became very skillful.
He sure did, yeah. Well, how about another tune? You got one?
I got one? Well, we always can
and
make
up. Of course, you can't leave without Roosevelt. I'm warning you now.
Oh, my goodness. Will I have to sing all the verses or just
whatever's comfortable?
Bob, you know, like I said, you know, I'm doing the best I can on here. You know, my guitar, part of my guitar is up in Richmond, Virginia. The factory is overhauling it. And, of course, you know, when you are doing another instrument, you know, you're not quite at home. But nevertheless, God is able, and I think that he can carry me through. And how am I doing? All right?
Yeah.
This instrument sound all right, don't it? All right, then. This is Bob's instrument. I'm glad he had something here for me to play. Okay, I'm going to do for you a selection. I haven't done this selection in years. So if there's any kind of mistakes, you know, just overlook them. Will you do that? All right. The songs that Jesus remembers when others forget. Remembers when others forget. Let me tell you, he is my captain, and I'm trusting him yet. But when I am sad, when I'm sad, Jesus, he makes me glad. Let me tell you, friend, that Jesus remembers. He remembers when I'm there, others forget. When I'm in trouble, I'm in pain, but let me tell you, God, give me courage. He give me courage. He said, Willie, you try me again. Dismayed, Jesus, he makes me glad, and that's why I can sit there. Whenever for, let me tell you, children, Jesus remembers. Others forget. I'm so glad he's my captain, and I'm trusting him yet. Let me tell you when I'm sad. Jesus, he makes me glad. Makes me glad. But I want to say that Jesus when others fall.
Beautiful. Beautiful. I never heard you do that one before. Great.
Feeling all right now.
Willie, we probably have just about time for some of the Roosevelt tune, whatever is a comfortable amount. Can you tell us a bit about the circumstances? You had composed this tune upon the death of President Roosevelt.
That's right.
Based on current events.
That's right. That's right.
Newspaper articles.
Right. This newspaper article, most of it. That's right. This song, it tells us, if you might hear me in the song, I'll try to sing at least a couple of verses so that you can hear these different people, important people, such as Mr. Pretty Man, who was a Negro Valley of the President, Madam Bethune, we all heard her name mentioned. You know, she have a school named after her over in Daytona. And you may hear me name Dory Miller, who saved 2 battalions of soldiers in the Army. He was a sailor, rather, and on one boat, he took out a Japanese plane out of the sky. He was on the boat. You hear me mention different things in the song. This was during Roosevelt's administration. Elizabeth Shimanoff, one of our greatest artists of all times, and she, of course, is in the library. You'll find her there. And she was painting a picture of Roosevelt just before his death. When he was sitting in the wheelchair. He was stricken with a cerebral hemorrhage. They rushed him to his room. She didn't get a chance to finish this picture. Therefore, it's called The Unfinished Portrait of Roosevelt. Sometimes you might be able to dig this one out. We did have a picture, we don't know what happened to it, of Roosevelt, this last picture. It was the unfinished portrait because certain things about the picture that she didn't finish. And so I'm going to just give you a little bit of this song.
Before you start, though, Willie recorded this with the Soul Stirrers, one of the best-known gospel quartets of all time that really got well known when Sam Cooke joined him just before he got into rhythm and blues and rock and roll. Willie knew Sam as a young man. But at that time, the lead singer was who?
Harris.
Reba Harris.
Reba Harris, that's right.
But can you tell us just real quickly, you were performing this on the street corners. And how did you come to record with the Soul Stirrers?
You know, I was singing on the corners. I would hook up maybe to a grocery store. Maybe I would hook up to somebody's house. I run an extension cord. Through the good heart of some people, they would let me hook up. I tell them that I'm here and I'm doing God's work and God's services. And what he had endured and gave me this gift and talent. And I wanted to spread it abroad. Not only through words, but through music. And this is a talent that God had given me. And they would just let me hook up to the electric. A lot of them wouldn't charge me anything. Once on occasion, I'd just put something in their hand. And they would like to hear, you know, me saying these songs, take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. One of my great songs that I often sang, The Little Wooden Church on the Hill. And so many different songs. I know one you used to hear saying about, I want to live so God can use me anywhere and anytime. And we used to sing those songs. They would let me hook up to the electricity. And I would have service on the corner. And crowds of people would come and stand around. And not only that, I remember in Jamaica, Long Island, the people couldn't get up to see me because I was down and they were standing up. And they put me on a flatbed truck and raised me and put me up where all the people could hear me. And then we had a lot of people, believe it or not, would stand there and give in their testimony to God, how God had blessed them and how they was happy to be there. And God touched a lot of people. And let me tell you, don't ever give up. As I sang the song a few minutes ago, God remembers when others forget.
You were playing in Chicago when somebody from the Soul Stirrers heard you playing
Roosevelt song. I was on the corner, and they wondered, you know, there's a great lake there at Chicago, Lake Michigan. You've heard of Lake Michigan. And it's a heavy atmosphere that comes off of Lake Michigan, and it's very heavy. And they wonder how could I sing in that open air against that heavy atmosphere. And I was singing this song about our late President Roosevelt. And they gathered around. They got in the front of the crowd. I didn't know who they was. And that it was the famous Soul Stirrers of Chicago. And they wonder, I said, how can this man do this? But God was in the picture. And so therefore, this is the song they was hearing. They heard me sing. I'm going to do just a few verses of it. You know, got about eight long verses if you sing them all. But I'll try to sing some of your important verses. Well, why did you like Roosevelt? Wasn't no kin. Why'd you like Roosevelt? Wasn't no kin. Why'd you like Roosevelt? Wasn't no kin. Lord God Almighty was a poor man friend. In the year of 1945, good president laid down and died. I knew how all of the poor people felt when they received the message we lost Roosevelt. But in his life, there were all indications that Warm Springs, Georgia, he received salvation. Listen, friends, and don't you rush. Elizabeth Shimano, she grabbed the brush. She dipped it in water and began to paint. Looked at the president and began to think. She never painted a picture for him at night. Knew that the president didn't look right. The time of day, it was 12 o'clock. Tell me that Elizabeth had to stop. Great God Almighty, she started too late. That is why they call this that unfinished portrait. A little bit later, about 1:30, had a cerebral hemorrhage and the world looked muddy. They call Atlanta, then Washington too. Like zigzag lightning, the call went through. They call long distance to notify his wife. Dr. Bruin said he died at 3:35. And great God Almighty, what no bells to tone. Less than 30 minutes, the world was in moan. I cried about Roosevelt. Cried about Roosevelt. I cried about Roosevelt.